Welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast with me, your host, Mr. Villain. Today, we're turning back to the clock to 1940 to explore one of the wildest, most chaotic moments in Hollywood history. A tale of wooden noses, wine-soaked rebellion, and a premiere disaster that still has people talking decades later. Co-hosting this segment with me, as always, is our co-host, Gigi Luigi. And we're going to set off to this very, very wild ride where a little titan in American history named Walt Disney had people, we'll say, dress up as one of his most iconic characters and get drunk on a rooftop. We're here to take you higher. And welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast, where we're going to talk about dwarves, or little people, as they like to be called. And back in 1940, 40s Pinocchio era, where the iconic, iclastic, is it? Yeah, iconic, iclastic movie of the same title came out, and a premiere in Hollywood, we had a classic case, body dysmorphia, alcoholism, and pretty much dwarves. So to tackle this story today with me, we have our co-host, Mr. Gigi Luigi. Gigi Luigi, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Oh, I am right here.
Right, I appreciate that. So I don't know if you ever heard this, but a long time ago in a land far, far away called Hollywood, Walt Disney, the creator of the iconic Disney everything, had a very, very good idea. He wanted to get a lot of exposure by doing something outside the mix of life, which he always did. And that's why we love Disney. He thought his imagination always moved outside of his mind. Like, you remember he used to teach us about imagine your imagination, right? So what he ended up doing back in the day was from one of the first red carpet premieres for a movie. He hired 11 dwarves, 11 little people. And he gave them food, money, and booze. And he put them on top of the El Capitan Theater, is the theater I believe he did, which is still in Hollywood today, off Hollywood Boulevard. I used to watch movies there all the time when I lived in Los Angeles. And he took away all resources, like a ladder, a way to get down, and he left them there all day in the blazing sun, Gigi. I mean, what do you think about that, Gigi? I mean, by today's standards, that's child abuse. What do you think?
Well, see, the thing about child abuse.
Which we know lots about child abuse.
I mean, are these little people under the age of 18, or are they just children?
Well, forever? They're dwarves, like, so they're forever youthful. Always going to be little people, and they were above the age of 18, I believe.
Are they?
I mean, like, how many dwarves? I take what you can get in 1940s Hollywood. Because, I'm sure some of the dwarves weren't over 18, maybe.
And to be fair,
yeah,
labor laws in general, just
mm-hmm. Yeah.
If the person said yes, I mean.
Yeah, is back in the time where labor laws weren't really.
It was pretty much to the consent.
I don't think. As much as they are now.
It was.
They weren't as huge and a part of everyone's life and culture as it is now.
Oh, no.
But, no. Yeah, old Walt, he didn't give a crap. I mean, there's a lot of things on Walt Disney that I love and a lot of things on Walt Disney that I'm really unsure of. He's an added supporter of Adolf Hitler. Right. Every time you say that name, you have to get really serious because it's a serious situation. He even, I believe, with him and Ford, he won the Iron Cross given to him by Hitler. So there's a lot of stuff in Walt's closet that we don't talk about, but it's evident. Go ahead.
Sorry, this is all just kind of clicking right now. You said this is all for Pinocchio, right?
This was all for Pinocchio, the
cartoon,
the red carpet premiere of Pinocchio.
The cartoon about
taking
little boys to Adventure Island.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
But does the fox say, no, we won't say what the fox says. Nah, but yes, that's the same Pinocchio we're talking about to this very day. Yes.
All right.
Now remember, Gigi, this is a bygone era. Okay. So
World's we don't marry off
our daughters at 12 and 15 anymore to, unsuspecting 35-year-old gentlemen, because that's not. I mean, the class and what we do as a culture has moved forward. And, we don't try to mess with little people and make them do weird stuff. But, those times have changed. And thank God for it. But let's talk about the hot mic on this, because I think it's so evident and clear. We really have to discuss what was Walt thinking? Okay. So let's set the scene. Walt Disney, fresh off the success of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, wanted to make a statement with the next big release, Pinocchio. The movie was groundbreaking, state-of-the-art animation, a budget that would make everyone today, or even today's studios, gasp, and a timeless story that still resonates. But Disney wasn't content with just wowing people on the screen. He wanted the premiere to be an event no one would forget. And here we are, almost 100 years later. We haven't forgotten.
No.
But
mission accomplished, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Here we are, almost 100 years later, still talking about it.
We are still talking about that time where Disney went up and had those 11 dwarves on that roof, drinking all day in the hot sun. And what happened after that was the remarkable part of the story. So Pinocchio wasn't just any film, Gigi. It was a technical marvel. It's the first animated movie to win an Academy Award for both its score and a song Academy Award for both its for the actual movie itself. When You Wish Upon a Star was the Oscar they won for that particular song.
That's like their anthem now, right?
Yeah, it's iconic, So
yeah.
This is a big time movie, man. Disney poured $2.6 million into this project, a fortune at the time, and adjusted for inflation, that's nearly $55 million today. The stakes were high, and Disney was high too. And Disney needed this premiere to make a splash. So enter the infamous plan. 11 little people were hired to dress as Pinocchio, complete with wooden noses and heavy costumes. Their job, Gigi, was to entertain the audience and create a whimsical atmosphere. What Disney did not consider was the logistics. The performers were placed on high perches above the audience with no easy way down.
So they were just like stuck, like they were actually like puppets up there stuck.
Yeah, they were just like.
And wait, this is in LA too, so it's hot. They have heavy costumes. Are the costumes made out of wood? I assume so.
The costumes were made out of wood.
And a big aspect to this is they were drunk, weren't they?
They were drunk. So in order to incentivize the dwarves, he gave them alcohol and snacks up there on their perches. So for the whole day, and you know, little people, they don't have, you know, huge intestinal tracts, a huge liver, you know, they don't have the adequate ability to process alcohol like a full size person, right? So yeah. They're drinking full size people shit. And they can't, you know, urinate, death, whatever they can't do it for as long as they're up there. So they're just getting drunker, drunker, and drunker. And it's getting a little chaotic in the theater while people are watching this premiere, because they're stationed all over the place. Some outside, some inside. It's hot. It's muggy. And if you've ever been to the El Capitan Theater, it's hot in there. I'm sure they put like AC and HVACs in there now, but it's stuffy. And it's old.
Well, it's just not built to breathe like places are nowadays. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
It just sounds like a horror show. Like, you just have these little people like posted up in the corners throughout, like, you're just like, I can't even imagine. Nowadays, you use animatronics, but like, yeah.
They were the animatronics.
They were. Mm-hmm. They probably didn't get paid that much.
No. Oh, well, it's Walt Disney. I don't think he's going to pay you much to be a dwarf. God. I'm trying, DD. I don't want to upset our dwarf friends, because I have friends that are, what is it, vertically challenged? Yeah. So, but notable figures in this, DD.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, I've heard, you know, a couple of my friends who are, you know, little people, they prefer to be called certain words, but I don't even. Okay.
Before we continue, I call them dwarves or little people because I've heard them say that that's what they prefer to be called. And look, I'm a 6'2" big black guy, so I want people to use my pronouns correctly. You know, so what do they call themselves? Like, what are we supposed to say?
Well, I mean, like, so I went to this is actually the title, so get mad at me, a midget wrestling show, and that
sounds weird.
And no, it was really fun. They had definitely some extremely athletic people, and the show was awesome. Okay. But yeah, they just wanted to be. They didn't really. I don't know. They didn't really care. So I don't know.
But what was this called?
It was midget wrestling. It was. I can't remember that thing.
Kind of wrestling?
Midget wrestling.
Oh, like, no! Oh no! We can't do that. I know for a fact that they don't like that. Mm-mm. Some of them don't really care.
Well, no, I mean,
the Dinklage guy, he gets mad about stuff like that.
Well, I know, but like, he doesn't represent everybody. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's hard to be like, well, hold on now. I feel like that's more offensive.
I don't mean it like, Joe, you're taking it wrong. Don't mean it like, of course. That's weird.
Okay, maybe you're right.
Of course, midgets have evolved. I mean, dwarves, my gosh, they've evolved. They don't mind as much. It's what I'm hearing. Yeah,
I feel like it's but more of the context what you're saying than just what you said. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I've never met anything ill. Yeah, I always read the censors when they tell me you got to be careful, and I'm like, well, on what? They're like, on everything you do. So here we go. Notable figures. Now this is the notable figures in this. And it's already a classic story that's going to be, they should make a movie out of this. Instead, you know, I like Pinocchio. It's a good movie, but this is a movie in itself. But at the center of all of this was Walt Disney, a man known for his obsessive attention to detail and relentless pursuit of perfection. This incident, however, revealed a rare blind spot in his planning. While Disney likely envisioned the Pinocchios as the cherry on top of a magical evening, they became the headline for all the wrong reasons. The performers themselves remain unnamed in historical accounts, but their ordeal has become the stuff of legend. They inadvertently stole the show, turning what was meant to be a whimsical evening into one of Hollywood's most infamous debacles.
So, hold on. So, what are the performers thinking through all this? Like, how the crowd, is the crowd like, interacting with them. Well, I imagine in the 40s, people were like throwing shit at them and like making fun of them. Different crowd nowadays.
We go deeper into this. So I'm guessing what the midget shit, what the dwarves were doing, they're drunken on these steps that are inside, you know, El Capitan Theater and around in the surrounding area. And they started taking off their clothes.
What?
And they were throwing their clothes, underwear, shoes at the audience, you know, like little children. Like spoiled little children, you know, a child gets upset, throws a tantrum, starts throwing his clothes everywhere.
Kicks his shoes off.
But like 15, 25 feet up in the air.
Just sweaty, nasty drawers down.
Yeah, and these are grown men.
Yeah.
Well, they're grown. You know what I'm saying.
They grew.
Got weird.
They grew.
And they were drunken men. They were drunken men throwing their wooden clothes at people and their smelly wooden underwear. With their noses up in the air. I don't know, man. It sounds like a weird Aristocrats movie, but with
dwarves. I feel like a documentary needs to be made.
I feel like I would hope they censored it. Because dwarves are full-grown men in every capable way. Just as everybody knows this. I know a lot of people are like, oh, they're like little kids. No, they're not. They're like men who are just short men, like four-foot men. And I'm not going to go any further than that because I think you all know what I'm talking about here. So... But the counterpunch on this, let's break it down. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So pros, the premiere generated buzz. People couldn't stop talking about the fiasco. And any publicity is good publicity, right? It added a layer of intrigue in the film despite the chaos. Pinocchio eventually became a beloved classic and a cornerstone of the Disney legacy and their empire, really. But the cons to this is you have short grown men, naked, drunk, throwing wood at people, wood.
Okay. Children.
The incident was a PR nightmare for a company building its brand on wholesome family entertainment. This was a serious misstep on Disney's part. The financial cost was staggering. Between the performers' costumes and the fallout, Disney likely spent over $50,000 on the event. Equivalent to more than $1 million today. I mean, damn. That just turned into like a nasty, sultry ditty party.
Oh, definitely. Dwarves. And just imagine the emotional damage as well.
Oh, bro. Like, you have not been emotionally damaged enough until you've seen dwarves run around half naked, sweating, throwing wood everywhere, and drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've... I mean, that's beyond a ditty party. That's a Dinklage party. If you get me.
No. That's a Disney party.
That's a game of these dicks. No.
Whoa.
Well, come on. I'm just saying.
I get it. You're talking about wood and Pinocchio. Things are growing left and right. I get it.
Bro, there's 11 of these things everywhere. Just, you know. Anywho.
This is 1940. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bro, this is 1940s. Where they're all aristocratic and they're like, oh my God, behave. You know, that
brew,
stuff.
Carve. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, brew, hi. And then you have all these dwarves all naked and running around throwing wood at people. Yeah, we're going to lose that wood reference.
It's like Woodstock, but 30 years early.
It's Woodstock. Okay, so the aftermath of the premiere wasn't pretty, I'm sure. Reports of the incident spread quickly, overshadowing the film itself. To make matters worse, Pinocchio initially struggled at the box office. The war in Europe had cut off international markets, and Disney was left scrambling to recoup its investment. But here's the twist. Despite the rocky start, Pinocchio rebounded. It won 2 Academy Awards and has since grossed millions in re-releasings and merchandise sales. Today, it's considered one of Disney's greatest achievements. The fiasco also serves as a case study in crisis management, or the lack thereof. Disney's team learned the hard way that attention to detail doesn't stop at the animation studio. It extends itself to every aspect of the brand. You can't destroy the brand. And that's what people will tell you when you start small businesses or you're in corporate America. You have to protect the brand from every corner and every avenue at all costs.
Oh, absolutely. Just look at this, for example. Look how tightly secure Michael Jackson brand is by his family. Yes, no. And like, oh, no, you can't mention his name. Like, poorly in the media without facing some sort of like massive lawsuits.
They will take all your money, man.
Yeah.
No.
But it's crazy how far people go to protect their brand, because it's everything.
The brand is everything. If you tarnish the brand, what do you have? You have the money from when you didn't tarnish it, but what are you going to use it for? You got to start a new brand.
It's like in the early days, it's like the only thing a good man has is his name, you know?
That's it. So, that's evolved to the brand. Your name is your brand. You don't want to tarnish that. And Dizzy was a man who was really key on perfectionism. That's one of the main reasons why everything is so perfect at Disneyland. Have you noticed? He had rules for everything. He had rules if you were behind that mask and you were Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse or whatever, you couldn't smoke. You couldn't use that dirty language. You could never take your hat off in front of people.
There are rules. Sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt. I was saying there's rules today that are still in place because of all this. And like even outside of costume, you're not supposed to say, I'm Peter Pan. No, you're supposed to refer. No. I'm friends with Peter Pan. That's how you say that I play Peter Pan at Disney World.
Yeah. And you have, I mean, there's so many rules. Disney was, he was just known for that. I mean, and all his rules kind of spread to other businesses and small businesses in the time, and since have translated into new businesses and future businesses. They used to teach a course about Walt Disney at UCLA, where they would just talk about the rules, pretty much his crazy rules. But yeah, so for him to slip up like that and have, 11 drunken, sweaty midgets running around with wood everywhere, and you try saying that 11 times fast, I mean, it's a twister. But let's do a takeaway. Here's the lesson, folks. Even legends like Walt Disney have their off days. The Pinocchio premiere was a hot mess, but it didn't define the film or the man behind the film. Instead, it became a quirky footnote in the history of a company that would go on to set the standard for entertainment. I mean, you can't think of anything bad that Disney's ever really done that's kind of left an indelible mark on society besides accepting that cross from Hitler. But other than that, the guy was squeaky clean.
That's different. That's different.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
You know, Operation Paperclip, Albert Einstein, the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, well.
So when you say it like that.
Well, I mean, if Albert Einstein would have become the president of Israel. I mean,
you know what?
Yeah,
bada bing, bada boom.
These wars,
bada bing, bada boom.
Necessary cleansing.
what happened?
Anywho,
where are we? Pinocchio.
But yeah, I mean, is this going to stop me from watching Pinocchio and hoping some of those midgets are in there? No, actually, I'm probably going to watch it tonight. And I would suggest all the audience take out that old dusty Pinocchio and put it right in your machine and watch it. See if you can see some dwarves running around naked.
And remember, this is nothing compared to what happened to the dwarves and the little people in the Wizard of Oz.
I'm just saying. That's a whole nother segment. Those poor dwarves. I mean,
all of them, even Dorothy.
Not all of them died, but a lot of them died. And one of them was hanging in the tree.
One killed themselves on set. Like crazy.
Yeah. And they were all given Judy Garland like drugs.
Yes.
How did dwarves have that much cocaine and speed and meth in the early 1900s? What the hell were we doing?
That was all that was going on back then, man.
Yeah, they were
Great Depression.
Giving it to old Judy Garland. They actually were the people who kind of got her hooked on drugs to begin with when she was a kid with the dwarves. Stop hanging out with little people. Sorry. I thought we were doing something different. But anyway, just be careful of the company you keep, people. That's what's important. Look around yourselves. Figure out what's going on. If a whole bunch of angry dwarves come towards you and they're not wearing any clothes and they're drunk, that's a problem. Get out of there. Am I right, Gigi?
Yeah, roll a d20. If a bunch of dwarves coming at you, roll a d20.
What's a d20?
D&D?
I don't know what that is.
Huh? D&D? You roll a 20.
Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, you roll a die. I'm going to roll for a critical strike. Oh, you're talking
about the old school Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Oh, there are dwarves in there.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck. They're everywhere.
Everywhere. Holy devils.
But, and just for everyone's consumption, we don't want a whole bunch of angry emails coming from normal people. We love dwarves. I mean, Gigi just told you he went to the midget wrestling. He
They're actually it. Really cool. It's actually really awesome.
Very cool people.
Definitely recommend checking it out. Not even to be, oh, it's funny. No, like, they're really athletic. It's actually pretty cool.
And they're not like evil little monsters that want to bite you. And it's not at all like your mom and they said back when you were a kid and they locked you in the closet. It's not like that. Doors are people too. And what I would suggest, if you don't have any little friends, you should get yourself some little friends. I mean, Gigi, you got a lot of little friends, so you've told me, I think, right? You know,
I'm small, you know, so I'm like the middleman between little people and the taller folk. You know what I mean? I'm on the bridge between
you're
two not worlds.
That small. You're like 5 feet. These fuckers are like 4'12".
Is that that's 5 foot. That's 5 foot. Okay. Be an extra. No, my sister, I believe she's 4'10".
By definition, she's a little person. Awesome. I love little people. I have a whole let me stop. I love them. They're amazing people. I have no problems with them. I think that when you get a whole bunch of little people together in a little room, it's a little party.
That's by definition.
Okay. Let me stop. It's getting too much.
Look.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody needs to know.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite adult film stars, her name is Madison Ivy. She's 4'10". You would never know.
Oh, I've heard of her.
She's gorgeous. She's hot.
Yep.
She's 4'10". It's ridiculous.
I follow on my side of my atmosphere a guy named, his name is Little Rocco. Little Rocco, I think he's on Twitter, you know, because Twitter's where you go for porn. And yeah, I'm telling you guys, mom, if you're listening, turn it off at this point. Dwarves they're not full grown men, but they are full grown men if you get just dragging that shit around. But with all that being said, we want you to go look at dwarf porn. And this was the way we wanted to tell you about it, clearly.
Yeah, this whole thing was a segue. Now for the viewers at home, this is when the real show starts. let me take you higher after hours.
We're about to take you real high.
We'll take you real high.
And sometimes you got to have fun, guys. There's nothing wrong with dwarves and all the stuff we've talked about today, especially when it comes in the context of Walt Disney. It just goes to show you that not everybody can be right about everything. And perfectionism is only in the eye of the beholder. And sometimes you can get pretty freaky with a whole bunch of dwarves.
I can see that.
And that's the tale of Walt Disney's most infamous premiere. Stick around. There's plenty more to come on the Let Me Take You Higher podcast with me, your host, Mr. Villain, and our co-host, Gigi Luigi. We're going to be doing little segments like this all throughout Christmas. All the weird flables of the entertainment industry as they try to prepare you to be entertained in some kind of way, form, or fashion. But for me, Mr. Villain, and for my co-host, Gigi Luigi, this has been Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast, and we're going to come back every week with new shows throughout the Christmas holiday. And we want to wish you and yours a very happy Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, a happy influenza, and the one
influenza,
Kwanzaa. Is it? It's Kwanzaa.
Yeah,
I screwed influenza that shit up.
All disease, isn't it? Just disease.
And I can say that because I am African American. So stop it. No more hate mail. But if you want to mail us a non-hate mail, you can do that too. Let Me Take You Higher podcast at gmail.com. Thanks again, guys. We appreciate you. Bye-bye now. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain, and it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
the shards, peace my peace within. Through tears and trials, we find our might. Let me take you higher toward the light. Let me take you higher beyond the pain. Where broken dreams mend and hope remains. We'll rise from ashes like a phoenix bold. In the symphony of resilience, our stories unfold. When life storms rage and skies grow dim, we gather the shards piece by piece within. Through tears and trials we find our might. Let me take you higher toward the light. Let me take you higher beyond the pain. Where broken dreams mend and hope remains. We'll rise from ashes like a phoenix bold. In the symphony of resilience, our stories unfold.